Now, if you were listening at the top of the programme, you would have heard me mention the fact that Aina Ní Laoghna came into the studio with a huge book under her arms. Aina, what is it? Tell us all about the book. Tell us, tell us.
This one is called Rambling Along the Royal Canal, hence is why I was singing. Well, if you could call it singing. It's an account of a walk along the Royal Canal, all the way from the River Liffey to the River Shannon, past Mountjoy Jail, where the screws were bawling and everybody was making noise and poor old Brendan Behan was imprisoned there and the Dubliners made a song about it. But anyway, the book is about all of the things that you can see as you walk along the Royal Canal.
Not just wildlife, the built heritage
as
well.
Oh no, it's everything. It's the built, and that's what makes it so interesting. I mean, the flowers and the birds and the bees are grand and they're always there and we do love those. But there's all the huge amount of engineering works that had to be made. Because, you know, do you know, Derek, does the water flow? Which way does it flow when you're walking?
Well, I don't know. I was going to ask you, does it start in Dublin or end at the Shannon, the canal, that is, the Royal Canal? Or does it start at the Shannon and end in Dublin?
And how do you know where it begins?
I don't know where it begins and ends.
No, it goes up a hill and down a hill, actually, in a manner of speaking. So as you're walking...
So it flows both ways?
Yes. As you're walking towards the Shannon, the water is flowing past you going back towards Dublin. But when you get to the highest point, which is the top lock, then the water then goes down to the Shannon and you're walking downhill the rest of the way. So there's the highest point, not very high obviously because, you know, but as the writer Tom Dredge used to be a hill walker in his time, he had a schmaline bit of a hill to climb indeed.
He was a former telecommunications engineer, I believe, with
that's
the
right,
ESB.
Yes, and a hill walker and a writer and interested in wildlife, and he was always, I mean, he did walk along the Royal Canal, and it's 148 kilometres. It took 10 days with about 14, 15 kilometres a day. But he didn't do it consecutively. He would often did a bit of it and then he went back and did it again.
But he did it 10 years ago. It took him 10 years to bring out the book.
But sure, do you know the way it is? How hard it is to get things
And in fairness
published?
To him, it's quite at home, in fairness it is. Now, would you use a book like that, Aina?
I would, of course, yeah. And I opened it up and say, Mullingar to Coolnahay. Now, I'm in Mullingar today. Where's he going from there? Well, I go that way and have a look and see what he's talking about. He's talking about studs and genealogy, local lore and a tea house. And a beautiful picture there of the swans on the Royal Canal. Or I opened it at another section and now we're going from Ballinacarrigy to Abishrule. Did you know there was an airport in Abishrule?
I did.
Well, there you know now. And Ballinacarrigy is the town of the rocks. So Carrig is a big rock, but maybe it's not. And he has a discourse about whether it is or it isn't about a big rock, all of which is very interesting if you're interested in place names and where they all derive. So it's full of gems like this and I love books like that.
And you spoke with him?
I did indeed.
Well, it's basically about a walk I did way back 10 years ago from the Liffey to the Shannon, all along the towpaths of the Royal Canal, discussing all the different things I'd found along the way, just fabulous wildflowers and different animals and birds and insects, and there was so much to see, and then old buildings that I started to read up on later. The book as such didn't begin at the beginning. It was just a walk and I took photographs and notes. So the book gradually evolved from that over a period of time as I did some research, especially on the wildflowers.
Well, it's a wonderful guide, and anyone who has time this summer, you shouldn't go along the Royal Canal without it. Now, It's 146 kilometres to walk from Dublin to the Shannon. How long did it take you to do that?
Well, I did it over 10 days, which works out roughly about 14 kilometres per day. But I didn't do it consecutively. That was for personal reasons at the time. So I actually ended up spending about 5 months walking it from spring right through into summer. But that turned out to be a bonus because, you know, I saw a change in the wildflowers and other things along the way, you know, between the spring and the summer.
So the canal was built in the 1700s, and the towpath, which is what the horses walked along pulling the barges soon changed to having motors and engines, but the towpaths lasted. So you were able to walk along the towpath all the way and observe all of the different things. Now, what was the most exciting plant or flower that you saw?
Oh, I think it has to be the yellow iris. Yeah, which was it comes out around June. It's just a fabulous big yellow iris, also called yellow flag. And you see a whole bunch of them all along the bank of the canal. It's spectacular to see so many when they're in bloom, you know, beautiful.
And then, of course, there were the birds, there were the insects, the butterflies, all of those things. But a lot of what you have in your book it's very interesting from a point of view of the whole architecture, the whole buildings, the whole locks, all of the stuff that went into building this canal way back in the 1700s. I mean, you think the canal, I mean, we had a perfectly good Grand Canal at the time, and the fellow whose land wasn't being used by the Grand Canal wanted to have a canal in his own land. So like there was a split even from the word go, and you mentioned this in the book.
Yes, I mean, the Royal Canal was built about 10 years after the Grand Canal was built, basically in competition to it. It probably wasn't as successful as the Grand Canal. And then when the railway came along, it put an end to both canals to some extent. You know, they were used to some extent after the railways came along, but that would have been in 1845 when the railway company bought over all that land, and they were actually going to put down their tracks on the bed of the Royal Canal, but thank God they didn't, and we still have those beautiful towpaths to walk along, and the canal has been rewatered in places that it had been then, where the water had drained out of.
So, I mean, there they were in Dublin. They were going to the Shannon. They probably drew a line on the map and off they went. But it wasn't plain sailing. I mean, some of the engineering works that were required, what would happen, say, if there was a river going across? What would happen if there was a hill or a hollow? Did the canal go up in the air? Did the canal have to go through a gorge? Did you see some wonderful engineering works that stuck out in your mind?
Well, I did indeed. The first one you meet is the deep sinking there around Castleknock, where they actually had to use gunpowder to blast out the channel through all the hard rock there. And then when you get to Leixlip, you have the Rye Water Aqueduct, you know, which it was built about 30 metres above the Rye Water. It is quite spectacular, especially if you go down the steps and view it from down below, from the Rye Water itself, and look up at the aqueduct. You know, it's amazing to see it. The Boyne Aqueduct is another one along the way. That's also spectacular.
Yeah, it's amazing what they were able to do way back then. I mean, to actually put the canal up in the air above the River Rye is an amazing construct, all right. But then this deep sinking that they have up around Clonsilla seems to be a great gorge. I mean, how could the horses pull things? Were the horses up high or was the path down below? Tell us about the great sinking.
Well, I mean, that was fairly difficult for the horses trying to pull that along, because the canal would have been a few metres below the towpath, so it was extra tough on the horses. And in fact, there was a terrible accident there one time. I think there was 16 people killed. There's a plaque regarding that accident on one of the bridges along the way. That was just due to the difficulty of pulling the barges through the deep sinking.
So as you walked along, you looked at the wildlife, you listened to the birds, but also you went through a countryside noted for various Irish luminaries, if you like. I mean, we think of Goldsmith, for example, but other writers. Tell us about some of the writers through whose lands you walked and what you noticed about that.
Well, I mean, when you're coming out from Dublin, there's just an endless amount of them, you know. I mean, there's Dermot Bulger and Finglas and a few others around that area. But when you get out further, you come to Mullingar, and there's a massive connection there with James Joyce. It's Mullingar is one of the, I think it's the only place he spent outside Dublin for any length of time, and that's because he was only about 18 at the time, and that's because his father was updating the electoral rolls there, so he brought James out with him, and James has that connection. I think 2 years in a row he went out. So they actually celebrate Bloom's Day in Mullingar every year, which a lot of people wouldn't know about, you know. And they dress up and have all sorts of walks and celebrations. And it's wonderful. And what's his name? J.P. Dunleavy, the author who wrote The Ginger Man, he also lived in Mullingar for quite a number of years. He bought a big house there after the money he made from the Ginger Man. So then you've Oliver Goldsmith around Ballymahon in Longford. He was extremely famous, and some of his works are still in print today, you know.
So it goes all the way to Clun Dara, Clun being a lovely pasture, a lovely meadow, and Dara being woodlands. So the place names are all important as well. So it took you the 10 days. Did you ever fall in?
Oh, no, thank God. No.
So it's quite a safe walk for people to be able to manage. It's all on the flat, so it kind of goes up to a small height, and then the locks come back down again. So 10 days at 14 kilometres a day.
Yeah.
And don't go without the book. The book is called Rambling Along the Royal Canal, A Journey into the Heart of Ireland. It's written by Tom Dredge and it's published by the Liffey Press. And it's available in all good bookshops, and particularly those along the Royal Canal. It's great talking to you, Tom. Thank you very much.
That's great. Thank you very much, Aina. Thanks for this opportunity. Bye now.
You're very welcome indeed, Tom. Don't forget, more details on the website, rte.ie/Mooney. My thanks to Aina Nealana, Richard Collins, Terry Flanagan and Niall Hatch. We'll do it all again next week at the same time. Until then, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.